Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
But before I get into anything, I need to ask our associate producer, Justin, because he's got his Phillies jersey on tonight. How are we going to do tonight against the Cubs? How are you feeling?
Easiest win in the world. We're clinching the division. We're sweeping the Cubs. We're clinching the number one spot in the NL. Easy first round bye.
You think so?
Yeah, great. I hope so. Blind optimism is what I've had to learn growing up as a Philly sports fan.
Yeah, I think that's a fair way to put it. I mean, watching the game yesterday, same thing, right? Like, just, you know, oof, we won, but oof, that was ugly, you know? Kind of like that.
A win's a win's a win.
Win's a win's a win. All right, so 6:35 tonight, or 6:40 p.m. is the first pitch tonight. Chicago Cubs at the Phillies. We are first in the National League East, and this will be the night, so this will be good. And F the Mets. That's all I got to say.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
That's it. Especially because Chris Christie's a Met fan, so also that, too. The feds are not cooperating with the state of Florida regarding the investigation into the assassination. So, a couple things here off the bat. So, Trump is going to discuss inflation and food prices tonight at this big rally that he's doing in Indiana, Pennsylvania. And he was talking to the farmers today about everything that's going on. Western PA is where the battle is right now, but I think he's going to easily win that between fracking, between inflation, food prices, helping the farmers, agriculture being Pennsylvania's biggest industry, fracking being number two. I think he wins on both of those issues. So I just want to make that point very clear. Now, Senator Ron Johnson, who's a smart guy, he was talking about the Secret Service and their lack of transparency and what's going on. You've heard frustration from Democrat Richard Blumenthal, a Democrat from Connecticut. In a minute, I'll play you what Governor Ron DeSantis said last week to Laura Ingraham about how the feds are not cooperating with the investigation into the second shooter, all right? Or the second attempted assassination, I should say, of Donald Trump. But here's Senator Ron Johnson on the lack of transparency here as he previewed a Senate report on the attempted assassination of Donald Trump. He talked about this with Maria Bartiromo yesterday morning on Fox Business. Take a listen.
We'll release the preliminary findings, I think, on Wednesday. It's basically going to confirm what so many people understand. I mean, this is a spectacular security failure, and we'll just go through, you know, all the ways in which the Secret Service failed. Now, what's disappointing is when Acting Director Roe comes up to Congress for a briefing, it really doesn't tell us anything other than everybody was responsible, which means nobody was responsible, which means nobody can be held accountable. So they continue to drag their feet. We don't have the transcripts from the FBI interviews. They've interviewed over 1,000 people. I asked for the 302s. They said they'd give them to us as soon as possible. Haven't got it. We don't have the autopsy or toxicology reports. We don't have the ballistics information in terms of exactly when the shots were fired. Did they recover the bullets? You know, what about crime scene photos? I mean, there's so much that we don't know. Crook's background, you know, what about the encrypted accounts? What do we found out about Crooks? What do we find out about the West Palm Beach assassin? Again, they're not being transparent. They are the law. They hold themselves above the law. They don't believe they're accountable to Congress or the American people.
Why not? I mean, I don't understand why they would not release their findings. You've got several investigations underway right now on how these would-be gunmen got so close to Trump.
Well, that's a $64,000 question. I mean, are they simply protecting their own agencies, their people, or is there something more nefarious going on? I mean, if you were asked to design an investigation that would drive conspiracy theories, that would heighten suspicion, this is exactly how you do it. They need to be transparent. They're not. I joined this four-office investigation because I can't compel testimony. Hopefully, the Democrat chairman of the committees will start subpoenaing the FBI and the Secret Service. That's what we're probably going to need.
You know, the biggest problem with the Kennedy assassination is the fact that you still have thousands of documents that are still classified. So that's why I say to you all the time, you are welcome to entertain any conspiracy theory you like, because until we have all the information, I can't rule out that there was not a conspiracy to kill John F. Kennedy that involved more than one person, being Lee Harvey Oswald, which is what the House Select Subcommittee on the Assassination concluded in 1978. But this is the same crap they're doing. They're not being transparent. They're not cooperating. Why not? Why not? And this guy, Routh, there's so many questions around this guy. They found 6 cell phones, a passport in the defendant's name. Why does he have 6 cell phones? He Googled how to travel from Palm Beach to Mexico. Handwritten list of dates in October, September, and October were present. He offered $150,000 reward for somebody to kill Trump, and he had a note of future Trump appearances. So that's the this guy. Why would you have six cell phones? What is that? How does that? And the other guy, Thomas Crooks, had encrypted cell phones. He had international connections. What's going on? What's happening here? Who's behind all this? This is why I say you cannot rule out that there is a coordinated effort among very powerful, rich people to kill Donald Trump, just like there was to kill Lincoln. Look, I'm not crazy here. I'm crazy, but for different reasons. I'm not crazy about this. I told you earlier in the show, John Wilkes Booth had help, a line of money that ran from the Confederate States of America up to Canada, New York, Wall Street was all in on killing on Lincoln. You have to understand, back then, slavery and commodity prices, it was a whole big thing. Wall Street, it's complicated stuff here, but you know, part of the reason why I don't think we'll ever have another civil war, two reasons. Number one, I think most people are too lazy to get off the couch and stop streaming Netflix. But number two, that was an economic war as much as it was a moral and philosophical war against slavery. And the New York and Wall Street wanted Lincoln dead because he was ending slavery. And there were a lot of people that made money off of slavery. They had this money line that went all the way up, and Canada was involved, and they had a way for John Wilkes Booth to escape. All these people involved in this. Many people would later be hanged for it, okay? But we still know to this day there were other conspirators that got off the hook, mainly, principally speaking, Jefferson Davis, who was recognized as the president of the Confederate States of America. I think there's more evidence that he was involved and was probably the guy behind the plot. But look, you would be a fool if you didn't think that there's something more nefarious with these two shooters. And the questions around why Thomas Crook's body's cremated, why he had these international encrypted phones, this guy with six cell phones in his car, what is that? Here's Governor Ron DeSantis talking to Laura Ingraham about the lack of transparency and cooperation from the feds in Florida's investigation into this. Take a listen.
My question to you tonight is, are the feds being cooperative with your investigation? Are you concerned that you're not getting the information you need?
The answer is no, they're not being cooperative. Yes, I am concerned. I mean, for example, we were rebuffed, our investigators were rebuffed just going to the fence line outside of Trump International Golf Club in West Palm Beach. And so I think they've taken the position, you know, they don't want the state of Florida to be involved in this. But here's the thing. There were multiple violations of Florida law across multiple jurisdictions. We think at least three judicial circuits. This guy, Ryan Routh, committed potential violations of Florida law. So we have a duty to investigate this. We have a duty to bring the appropriate charges. And we also have a duty to inform the public about how this happened. So I don't anticipate their being cooperative. I think that they've just taken that position. And I think that that's unfortunate because even though I've been very clear, state of Florida is going to do an investigation, you know, I've not disputed their right to also investigate. It's a federal government. He was in their protective custody as a presidential candidate. But let us do this. So hopefully that tune will change. But I can tell you right now, Laura, we have not gotten a lot of receptive response.
Yeah, that's a damn shame, right? But obviously it is. It's so frustrating right now that we are still don't have answers to all these things. It is so frustrating. Now, there's an event that occurs in politics every year. It's called the Al Smith Dinner. It's a big deal. It's a fun night. It's a charity event, raises millions of dollars. Catholic Church is involved, and it goes all the way back to John F. Kennedy, actually. So Kamala Harris is not going to go this year. Kamala Harris is not going to go. They did it virtually during COVID in 2020, but they've had this thing going all the way back. It's a charity event, raises millions of dollars. The dinner has hosted the major party rivals every 4 years, which is two exceptions since 1960, when Richard Nixon dared to join John Kennedy, the first Catholic presidential nominee since Al Smith himself on Catholic turf. That's how far back this dinner goes. And you've seen it. It's like a roast and they make jokes and it's a fun, lively night. The candidates are supposed to deliver light jabs at each other in their dueling addresses, which can be written in advance. But the program apparently has too many risks of being called upon for spontaneous reactions for Kamala Harris to agree. She has done vastly fewer non-teleprompter events than any past major party candidate. One of her allies claims Harris is just too busy. Kamala says she will do the Al Smith dinner in the future if she wins in November. As for the exceptions to the dinner going from 1916 until the present, one came in 1996 when the then Cardinal opted to invite neither nominee, presumably because President Bill Clinton had vetoed a bill that banned abortions of babies already partly out of the mother. That could be Harris's concern now, the New York Post says, since she and her running mate Tim Walz support unlimited abortion rights all the way through the ninth month of pregnancy. Walz even signed a bill ensuring that babies born despite an attempted abortion would have no protections. Or it could just be likely her fear of being spontaneous. After all, she just bungled a friendly conversation with Oprah Winfrey, who endorsed her. That phobia must be pretty crippling. Harris has to know that the other exception came when Walter Mondale declined the invite in 1984 and went on to lose 49 states in November. So Trump's going to have the night to himself at the Al Smith dinner. It's going to be great and good for him. He'll have a lot of fun. He can make jokes. He's great in those environments, and good for him. But the fact that she's not going to be there is pathetic. You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of Joe Biden skipping the Super Bowl interview, which is a layup interview that would have been done by CBS's Nora O'Donnell, if I'm not mistaken. And it would have been a layup softball interview. But I knew this guy wasn't going to be the nominee back in October of 2023. But I knew at that point when he said he wasn't doing that interview, it was over. It was done. You don't skip that. Kamala Harris skipping this dinner. She's terrified. This is a losing campaign right now. The media, though, is trying to do everything they possibly can to hurt Donald Trump. And that's the big story of the hour, brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Venaria, VenariaDental.com, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VenariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile, VenariaDental.com. Two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. The media keeps taking things that Donald Trump says out of context, and they do this all the time. They did this with the very fine people on both sides nonsense that the Democrats still run with to this day. I want to give you an example of this, of the media taking Trump's words out of context. So you're going to hear Martha Raddatz, ABC News, Martha Raddatz, claiming that Donald Trump said migrants are not people. All right. Then we'll play the full clip for you where he was clearly referring to MS-13 gang members. And this is what the media does, the corporate media does all the time, as they try to help Kamala Harris and the Democrats and try to hurt Donald Trump over and over again. Cut 18.
That was just the beginning. Trump stoking more fear about migrants at the southern border. Trump at one point saying they're not people.
Well, I don't know if you call them people. In some cases, they're not people, in my opinion. But I'm not allowed to say that because the radical left says it's a terrible thing to say. These are bad. These are animals.
All right. That's the example. And then here's the full context.
Unbelievable when I see it going. But I got to know all these people. They're very smart, very streetwise. And I would do the same thing if I had prisons that were teeming with MS-13 and all sorts of people that they've got to take care of for the next 50 years. Right. Young people, they're in jail for years. And if you call them people, I don't know if you call them people. In some cases, they're not people, in my opinion. But I'm not allowed to say that because the radical left says that's a terrible thing to say. They say you have to vote against him because did you hear what he said about humanity? I've seen the humanity, and these are bad. These are animals, okay? And we have to stop it. We can't have another Lakin. We have so many people. We have so many people being hurt so badly and being killed. They're sending their prisoners to see us. They're sending and they're bringing them right to the border and they're dropping them off and we're allowing them to come in. And these are tougher than anybody we've got in the country. These are hardened criminals.
Clearly, not saying migrants are not people. But that's what the media does. That's the flip. That's the game. That's what they do. And it's awful. It's horrific. And J.D. Vance went off on Kamala Harris today. Good for him. saying, how dare you call us racist? How dare you? But wait, before I get to that, I want to say something, and this makes me very, very happy. You know who I hate? I really, really hate, and maybe I shouldn't hate him, Matt. I don't know. Justin, back me up on this. I hate the lesser Kelsey. I really do. I friggin' hate that guy.
I think it's overexposed. It's too much. It's way too much.
I said on Jimmy Fallon's show last weekend on Fox News Saturday Night, I said he's the lesser Kelsey.
I agree.
Jason is not the best color commentator, by the way. He was a little too much the other night, but he's way better than his brother.
He's learning.
He's learning.
He spent, what, 13 years just being the heart of our offense, and now he's got a...
I love him.
I think he's... Even in the limited amount of time that we saw of him, I think he was better than Brady on commentary.
Oh, 100%. Brady can go 1,000%. Yes, I'd take Kelsey over Brady any day. And over that other Yahoo, too. What's his name? Joe Bell. What's his name? Joe Bick. What's
Joe Bummo?
Who?
Joe Buck.
I don't know if you're talking about Joe Buck or Tony Romo.
Yeah, Buck and Romo. Both of them. I can't stand either of them. You sound like an Arby's, like the Arby's guy repeating the menu through the drive-thru, asking if I want roast beef.
Do you want a roast beef sandwich?
Oh, my God. But here's good news. Ready? So Kansas City Chiefs star Harrison Butker. Remember they wanted to cancel him for his commencement speech? We talked about the joy of motherhood, and he praised women who want to just be moms and not work, in corporate America, and said it was right for his family, and they wanted to cancel him for that. Well, not only is he now the highest paid kicker in the NFL, but Kansas City Chiefs star Harrison Butker's NFL gear sales for the first time, the gear sales of his shirts, jerseys, all these things, beat out fellow teammate Travis Kelce, despite a backlash against the kicker over his commencement speech. Boom! In a list from the NFL Players Association of the top 50 players with the highest sales of official NFL licensed merchandise, Butker not only made his debut in the rankings for the first time, but also bested Kelsey at 12th place by coming in at number 11. Whoa! Boom! There you go. And Kansas City Chiefs star QB Patrick Mahomes, his sales beat out both Kelsey and Butker's, coming in second place behind only Houston Texans CJ Stroud, who nabbed the top spot, according to the outlet. And good, because I love Mahomes, because Mahomes is staying out of politics. His wife, Brittany, they want to cancel her now. Why? Because she liked a tweet from Trump. Is that right? And then the media is speculating that now she wants to, she regrets it or something like that. Give me a break. So I'm a big fan of Mahomes. You know what I mean? I like him. Good for him. DeSantis, we got to work on this connection of yours. This delay is killing me.
I can't do anything about it right now. It's as good as it's going to get today.
Oh, it's awful.
Is it better than it was earlier?
What do you think, Justin? Is it better?
If it's better, it's marginally better.
Yeah, it's like a half a second better, but I still don't have the patience to deal with a half second delay. My blood pressure goes up, my Italian gets up, you know what I mean?
I mean, you've made that abundantly clear thus far. Yeah, I understand.
Sure. Anyway, all right, did you say what time? Trump's rally's at 7 tonight?
He takes the stage at 7 p.m. I think doors opened at 3.
So we're not going to be able to take any of it live, unfortunately, but there you go. Oh, you know he's coming on Friday? We start doing a thing on the show starting on Friday. We're going to do Fridays with Fela. We're going to have Jimmy Fela on every Friday, or at least as many Fridays as he can do. Doesn't that sound fun?
He's always great.
Said I love when Fela comes on.
Yeah, Fridays with Fela. I texted him about it over the weekend. We're going to even get some production for it, too. And then he can preview his Saturday night show, and then we can just, have some laughs, and that'll be fun. I'm thinking we try to do that at like 5:30-ish. The problem is he has to do Hannity, and sometimes Hannity tapes, so he may have to do that, but we'll work around it. Hell, I don't care if it's a Thursday. We could do Friday with Fela on a Thursday, you know what I mean? Doesn't matter
to me.
Probably
have to change the name.
No, we'll keep it. It'll be funny. It'll be like Fridays with Fela, but it's Wednesday.
The audience will get so confused.
This is the smartest audience in radio. Nothing gets by them. Are you kidding me? Nothing.
Well, I'll get confused.
Well, yeah, you are confused. And this connection stinks, and this delay, and your dial-up internet that you're paying. What are you paying, like $24.99 for it? It's awful.
It's not
I mean...
I mean, the connection is not great. I won't deny that. It's been a little shaky all day.
Don't worry, we're gonna fix it. We're gonna get there. It's only day one. It's only day one, right, Justin? It's only day one.
It can only get better.
See that? There you go. All right, we got a lot more to get to in our fourth and final hour here, including the chaos in Philadelphia. The Philadelphia police under fire again by the criminals in this city. The city's insane. It's out of control. And the clips of this drag racing and the attacking cops and attacking cop cars has gone internationally viral. So I'm going to share that with you as well. Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Dana Perino's podcast, Perino on Politics, is out. I'm going to read you the description. This week, Dana is looking at the presidential races in two of the most important swing states, Pennsylvania and North Carolina. Former GOP strategist and host of the Rich Cioli Show, Rich Cioli, provides a look at the politics of Pennsylvania and explains why he believes issues such as fracking will play a prominent role in the way the state votes in November. And former White House political director and Republican strategist with the Indy Group, Jonathan Feltz, gives a glimpse into the local stories heating up in North Carolina, from the controversy surrounding Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson to the shifting demographics within the state. Uphill battle. With under 2 months until Election Day, voter enthusiasm will play a key role in who wins the 2024 presidential race. Jonathan notes that he's paying attention to the rise in Republican voting registrations in North Carolina, while Rich points his attention toward the size of the crowd at rallies. I do think that, and I did mention too as well, the registration, Republicans are outpacing Democrat in voter registration bigly. And Scott Pressler is talking about that as well. But here's the thing with me, and I guess I'm kind of old school about it. I don't translate registration into necessarily a vote. So I get leery about getting excited about that. You know what I mean? Like, I'm more excited about the idea of getting mail-in ballots in people's hands. Like, I'm more excited about the effort that's underway to get everybody to vote by mail on the Republican side and then targeting them if they didn't vote than just registrations. Because if you register somebody, I mean, that's great and it sounds good and it makes for a great headline. But translating that registered Republican into a vote is what you have to do. And I know that you might say to yourself, well, then what's the point of registering if they're not going to vote? But sadly, you have a lot of registered voters that don't vote. I mean, if you look at the numbers, even in a presidential year, if you get 40%, 50% turnout, like, that's massive. That's huge. And there's also another thing, too, which is that now you've got the motor voter registration. So people are automatically registering to vote, and that's benefiting Republicans. But I guess I personally just don't get as jazzed up about that as other people do. I'm not downplaying it, but don't get me wrong. It's not that I'm saying it doesn't matter. It does. And I think, you know, Scott Pressler is doing God's work out there in Pennsylvania, getting people registered as Republicans. He's going to he's having all these voter registration drives. He's doing gun shows and tractor shows, and he's going to Amish country, and he's getting people registered. And that's great. It matters. It absolutely. But you don't need to be a registered, like, I mean, yeah, you know, you need to be registered to vote. Yes, you do. No question about it. And the deadline in Pennsylvania is October 21st. So, like, for example, Luzerne County now, Republicans have a slight edge in Luzerne County. Great work by Scott Pressler. Now I got to get those registered Republicans to go vote. Right. So, I mean, you know, it's one thing is, like, you have a fair, and I know it sounds like I'm poo-pooing this, and I'm not. Trust me, I'm not. I'm just saying that. You could have a voter registration drive and somebody walks by and it's like, hey, register to vote Republican. And they're like, all right, yeah, I'll register to vote. You know, or do you want to register to vote? And they're doing all these voter registration drives. Republicans are outpacing them. Great. But then what's your ground game to get them to convert that into a vote? That, to me, that matters. And that's what I want to see, is that. Because you could have all the registrations in the world, if you don't get these people to vote, or if they get to the polls late, or if they don't send in their mail ballot, or whatever, then it's a problem. You know what I mean? So that's why it's good to talk about. And we'll have Scott Pressler on the show this week. And I'm telling you, like I said, the guy deserves a hero's welcome for what he's doing, registering these Republican voters. And there's also a psychological warfare game to this, too, to a degree, because when you have a headline like Luzerne County is outpacing Republicans, or this article from Spotlight PA, Democrats in PA approach 2024 election with the slimmest voter registration advantage in decades. That's huge. That matters. It does. It absolutely matters. And part of it is if Philadelphia doesn't turn out the vote big for Kamala Harris, and neither does Pittsburgh, she loses. Because you're going to have strong support, and this is what I was getting at with the rallies and for Trump, you're going to have strong support in the burbs. You know, not the collar counties of Philly necessarily, but rural PA, rural Pennsylvania. You're going to have massive support for him there. So, no, psychologically, from a psychological warfare perspective, Democrats in PA approach the election with the slimmest voter registration advantage in decades. Sounds great. It does. It sounds great. Now flip that. Convert those people into votes who register to vote. And that's what has to happen next. And, you know, Dana asked me the question today. She said she's heard that the ground game from the Trump side is not as strong as the Harris campaign's ground game is in terms of getting out the vote. What I said to that was, I want you to listen to the podcast to hear what I said. But, you know, if that's the case, then that needs to change immediately because we have to make sure that you convert those votes. What I'm optimistic about is that it seems as if the Republican National Committee is really focused in on, and so is the Trump Force 47, of getting those ballots in people's hands early. And then if they don't have a ballot and they're registered to vote, calling them, reaching them, touching them to get them the ballot in the hand to vote. And that process has to happen. And so contrast that with the Kamala Harris strategy, right, which is that you just bombard the airwaves with commercials. But that doesn't translate into a vote either. So with the election 44 days away, with early voting beginning now, finally, now that we've, you know, passed court challenges and the ballots are being printed in Pennsylvania and everything, and we've got some other litigation going on in Montgo and Western PA, and, you know, there's going to be court challenges, and we still have to deal with the naked ballot issue and other things. But leaving all that aside for a second, getting those vote, translating registered voters into votes is what matters. It's kind of the same reason why when I hear polls of registered voters, I don't really care because I need likely voters. So it's kind of the same thing for me. I get nervous when I hear people turn around and say, hey, Republicans are outpacing Democrats with voter registration. Great. What's your plan to get them to vote now? You know what I mean? What's the plan to make sure that they actually then show up and vote? And that's what I want to see. Here's J.D. Vance going off on Kamala Harris about the border. He did a great job here today going after her at a rally he did in North Carolina. Oh, and interestingly enough, when I spoke to the podcast today, the other guy that was on there, he doesn't think that whatever baggage this candidate for governor has in North Carolina, he doesn't think it's going to translate into Trump in any way, shape, or form. And he still thinks Trump wins North Carolina. I agree. I agree with that analysis, by the way, of what Jonathan said today during the podcast. All right, take a listen.
And our message to Kamala Harris is, how dare you call people a racist for wanting to close down that wide open border? Our message to Kamala Harris is, how dare you call the citizens of your own country bad people because they don't want a flood of illegal migration in their country? Kamala Harris, how dare you attack the citizens of your own country for not wanting their children to die of fentanyl overdoses? Kamala Harris, how dare you call the citizens of your own country bad people? You're a bad person for causing this border crisis. We are not bad people for complaining about it.
Good for him. Good for him. You know, I mean, that's what he has to do. That's what he has to say. And, I'm happy that he's hitting back, hit back hard. That's what you got to do. All right. Quick break. Top story of the day brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Venaria, VenariaDental.com. VanariaDental.com. VenariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. VenariaDental.com.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
So, as we continue along the show here tonight, Trump's rally at 7 p.m. in Pennsylvania. I got a couple of little clips for you. This is kind of short here. President Trump helps a mom of three pay for her groceries. This is in Western PA, where he is today, where he's doing his rally after he spoke to the farmers. Take a listen.
Damn, it's going to go down a little. It just went down $100.
Thank you so much.
We'll do that for you from the White House, all right?
Thank you.
All right, bye. Nice seeing you, everybody.
God bless
you. Beautiful.
Thank you.
Are you kids?
Yeah, they are. Three boys.
Perfecto.
Here's another little clip. Trump was in the supermarket and took home some popcorn from Sprankle's Neighborhood Market. Take a listen.
Oh, look, I gotta get some of this. Look at that stuff.
We gotta get it.
My mom just got a bag of that, actually.
Is it good stuff? Good?
She says it's the best.
Is that the best?
She says it's the best.
If it is, I'll be sending. I'll be in Washington, D.C., hopefully in the Oval Office. I'll send for popcorn.
Okay, so that's some of the latest with that. Yeah, I think, too, you know, it's important to understand the chaos in Philadelphia that occurred also matters here. And let's not forget that in the least. What we saw in the city over the weekend, shameful, absolutely shameful, and it's making international news. I want to play you a little bit from the press conference. This is Deputy Police Commissioner Francis Healy. Sends a message from Mayor Sherelle Parker after the chaos that ensued over the weekend. Cut number 20.
I was asked to come here specifically by Mayor Parker and on behalf of Commissioner Bethel to send a message. The message is this. This behavior will not be tolerated. We firmly believe that the actions last night were in retaliation of the police department's aggressive actions that we've been taking since the Mayor Parker's administration began. So we've been attacking this problem rather heavily every weekend with a large number of officers, and we believe last night was some type of retaliation of sorts. But the message is this, and the message is to the people that are involved in the actions as well as our communities, that this will not be tolerated. The information that we received last night, for those that were involved in it, should be very well aware. We have your picture. We're coming for you. If you think you got away last night, you didn't. Okay, so when you hear that banging on the door, it will be us. We're coming with search warrants and we're coming with arrest warrants. So don't think we're going to lay down and allow this to happen in our city. We're not. And that's a message to the police officers out there as well that are on the line dealing with this nonsense. They also need to know that we're not putting up with this. So that's the message. I just want to make sure it's very clear from the mayor that this is unacceptable in the city and we will not tolerate it.
Deputy Police Commissioner Mike Cram laid out the details about all the incidents, even including a flamethrower that was involved as well. Pure chaos in this Democrat-controlled, George Soros-backed prosecutor city. Cut 21.
So this is not an uncommon occurrence, obviously. It's why it's the mayor's priority as well as ours. Generally, every weekend we do run enforcement actions to try to disrupt this behavior. For the most part, every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday night, we have some types of car meetups. Usually they're small. Once we find out about them, upon police arrival, they generally disperse. Occasionally, as you've seen in the past, sometimes they don't disperse, and they quite frankly, are quite destructive. Last night was one of those incidents, right? So we had 11 total, spanning from 9:30 last night, starting in the Northeast at 7400 Bustlin Avenue, finishing up at 4:30 this morning down next to City Hall. So that was 11 total incidents. Of those 11 incidents, six of them involve some type of destructive behavior. And I'm not talking, everything they do is destructive, right? I mean, they're ruining the quality of life. They're, you know, drifting, drag racing. At one point, they had a flamethrower. Yes, there's video of them with a flamethrower. That was the report from Marvine and Grange last night up in the 35th Police District. A flamethrower. Some of these events will be small, from 50 car involved to up to 200. So that's what we had last night. Of those six events, a few of them were obviously a little more violent. They actually attacked police officers, threw various things at them, shot off fireworks, ended up damaging five of our vehicles, including the big RV that was outside a city hall that we use as kind of a deployment base and presence out there. They deployed that. They jumped on police cars out in the southwest around Bartram Island. So it was very destructive.
They also explain how these things come together and how social media played into it. The chaos, the lawlessness, this looked like a freaking fiasco. It looked like something out of a Batman movie. That's what it looked like in Philadelphia. You haven't seen the videos of it yet. I'm sure you have by now, but it's just insane. Cut 22.
We are playing whack-a-mole a lot of times with these. And like I said, when we get there, they leave because they don't care. They don't care about your safety, their own safety. If you've all seen the videos with their behavior, they really don't care. You know, it's just about how much chaos can we cause, and that's what they do. And they have a lot of them have a large social media presence, right? And they're making money off of that, so that's a whole nother issue. So it is a problem. We have been fairly successful. The city ordinance has been great for us. It's been a great tool. A few weeks ago we had a few car meets where, once again up in the Northeast, where the officers did a really good job, stopped a lot of them, were able to issue code violation notices under the city ordinance, and lo and behold, a lot of them from Jersey, and the lieutenant charged that night did a good job of calling a lot of their moms because they were underage in their parents' cars. So hopefully that dissuades some of them coming back as well. So, but that city ordinance has been a really good tool for us, right? It's just a matter of us just keep at it. It's been going on for a long time. It's not just a Philadelphia problem. It is a nationwide problem. Most large cities have been dealing with this for a long time as well. And, you know, we share ideas. And,
all right, so that's a little preview of that, about what happens and the chaos. But, you know, these people don't fear repercussions. I mean, that's the issue, right? They don't fear repercussions. So crime is another variable in this election that we just don't know yet how that's going to play out. And McCormick's running strong on this with immigration and crime, too. He's running strong on this. So keep that in mind as you think about this coming November. No doubt about it. All right. Keep the conversation going on X at Rich Zeoli. The great one, Mark Levin, is up next. Thank you.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.